while addressing the core reason for crime. Now, if you call the police, you'll be treated radically different from if I call the police, mm-hmm. or if any of my male relatives call the police, or get the police called on them.
And you're talking because you're a person of color.
I'm a person
of
color.
You're right. And I don't deny that. We have to continue to train and train and train and be intentional about training. Your question about working with the police chief and how do we make the police more responsive? I'll go back to that answer. When our police are spending over 50% of their time only arresting poor people, homeless people, mm-hmm. we're misusing our police. We should be providing that care. And we have to value all Portlanders. And we can't just continue to arrest those that are homeless, because when you arrest someone who's homeless, you're just keeping them homeless. Mm-hmm. Let's just be clear. Now, the way we help the police, and as the mayor, the police chief reports to me, we got to get back to community policing. They have to be back in the community and working with the community. When was the last time you saw a police officer at a donut shop? They're so overwhelmed and their overtime is at historic levels. Who would ever thought we'd want to see a police officer at a donut shop? I want to see them back there because it means they're back in the community, connecting with the community. And now I want to tell you this. This is new information. The arrest rate for property crime in Portland is 5% now. One of the worst in the nation. We are shoulder to shoulder with Oakland and St. Louis. It's open season out there. We want our police to be unencumbered. We want to care for our unsheltered and unsheltered homelessness. Allow our police officers to get back to community policing, to responding at 6 minutes. And when they're less worked, there's less overtime, they're less apt to make unsafe or snap judgments. You know, you have to rest your public safety officials. And so we have to get back to that normal. I don't deny that there is systemic issues, but it's difficult to work with them when an officer is already finishing a 12-hour shift.
Do you think officers should be required to live in the city of Portland?
You know, I don't, because as somebody who owns a large transportation company, I struggle finding great staff. And if I can find a staff member that lives in Happy Valley or somebody who lives in Gresham, I want to hire the best staff available. If I, as the mayor, say you only have to live in Portland, I'm limiting my ability to utilize the entire 2 million people in my region, and I'm limiting it to the 650,000. You know, it's expensive to live in Portland. And if an entry-level police officer can only afford living in Happy Valley or Damascus or Gresham or Beaverton, I respect that.
You know, you segued into an issue about the cost of living here in Portland.
That's right, yeah.
I can't believe what rents are.
Yeah.
Do you think that there should be rent control in Portland?
You know, I don't have enough knowledge about rent control. I am a believer in free markets, right? We do have rent control in the sense that the state dictates it cannot go more than 10%. So we set that limit now. In fact, I just got the notice. The rent increases can be no more than 10%. So we actually hit that ceiling mm-hmm. this year, which is, you know, boggles my mind with inflation and then the overall top. But let's go back to affordability. To live in a one-bedroom house, or pardon me, apartment in Portland, it's $1,700 now. You have to earn $68,000 to not be cost-burdened. And it's a major plank. So not only do I need to address unsheltered homelessness next year, we need to rapidly develop affordable housing. We must be creative, much more so. And you and I were talking before the show, you know, we're a big proponent of ADUs, of smaller units, 500 square feet or 1,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. And you know, in Vancouver, British Columbia, I think it's like 50% of homes have an ADU.
Wouldn't that be great here
in
Portland?
And we could do it. You know, look at all the alleys in our older parts of town. Alleyways in Vancouver, BC are the back doors to ADUs. We are well set up. We need to come up with rules and permitting that accelerates that, reduce the property taxes on those units to really allow a homeowner to make that investment, to get the return on that investment, so we can house more Portlanders at reasonable rates. Versus that $1,700.
And you know, you can always develop an employment program to teach people how to build them.
Workforce development is a huge gap in Portland.
So tell me what Portland is doing well. I mean, I hear a lot from different candidates, Althea with Running on Air. People come in and they talk about problems. Tell me, what is Portland doing right?
Okay. Something that I'm really proud about Portland and is an opportunity. So we passed the Portland Clean Energy Fund I believe it was 2021. Mm-hmm. And the intent of that law was to take $40 million. It was a tax on large employers, Targets, Walmarts, things like that. And we were going to add a fund for $40 million, and we were going to be intentional with it. It was for clean energy projects. It was for communities that had been harmed in the past, mm-hmm. to really help those communities withstand climate. That's really good. Another thing that we did is we have the most advanced renewable fuel standard in the United States. This year alone, 15% of all diesel has to be renewable diesel or bio. It cannot be fossil diesel. And by the year 2030, I believe, 100% of our diesel will be clean diesel, won't be fossil diesel. That is the most aggressive program in the United States. And that's something we should be very proud of, because when you have diesel particulate, it primarily or disproportionately affects communities that live along transportation corridors. Yeah, like and ours. Those are black and brown people. And so what do you know? We're lowering emissions and we're reducing the harm in those vulnerable communities. So I think it's something we've done really good. And I think other cities should look to emulating that success we're having.
Well, it's nice to know Portland's doing something well. So you're listening to Running On Air, a production of KBOO Community Radio. I'm your host, Lenita Duke from Grassroot News. And today we're speaking with Portland mayoral candidate Keith Wilson. And you can join the conversation by calling our air room with a question at 503-231-8187. We have plenty of time for questions, so please feel free to call. You can always message us on the KBOO website, kboo.fm. Let's get back to our discussion. Now, you're running for mayor, Keith Wilson for mayor, under a very different system.
Yes.
How do you feel about that system?
It's about time. I mean, we had a commission system. We see the inabilities of our current commissioners that only really need 3 votes out of the 5 to really move our city forward, and we are paralyzed.
Yeah. For those that don't know, this is ranked choice voting,
yeah.
And we now have city commissioners coming from the community that they live in.
Yeah.
Like I live in District 2, other people live in District 1, yeah. District 3. How do you see yourself as mayor interacting with these new commissioners?
Yeah, it's a power sharing agreement. So you have really 3 key power bases now. You have the city councilors, which are 3 per district. There's 4 districts. You have a city administrative officer, which is going to be your professional operations person.
You'll be the main bureaucrat to get all these things done that you want to get
done. That's right, yes.
Do you have someone in mind?
No, but I have a structure in my mind, and I've already begun the discussion. So the city councilors are in charge of the 4 districts, and there's 3 of them. So they're kind of like mini cities now. But the good thing, though, Ms. Duke, is that every neighbor has a voice in the city government, because we have a brand new assistant city administrative officer that mm-hmm. will take all of the concerns from the neighbors through the councilors. Now, do I have somebody in mind? What I will tell you, I know how to run a high-performing business. I should tell you, my company received National Innovator of the Year for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I understand a high-performing business, how to run a complex business, a 24-hour operation, but I don't know how to run the city. So the one critical job that I will make sure we go outside of Portland is to hire the city administrative officer. It's kind of like a chief operating officer. My goals are to have a person hired that will have worked in a city the same size of Portland or larger, will have a resume that I can verify that has a high degree of success. They already know how to operate the city, and they've had years running the city our size or larger, and that city is outperforming. That's who I will be asking to join my staff. And in so doing, that person will allow me to remake the entire enterprise, the city, for efficiencies. My chief of staff is going to be somebody who's going to be local with decades of experience in Portland, so they'll help me understand the institution as a whole and the people and the parts. And as far as my executive experience, I've been setting vision and mission and strategy for my business for decades. And I arguably have one of the higher performing operations. So I know how to set key performance indicators and set high expectations.
And what's the name of your business?
It's called Titan Freight Systems.
Okay.
And it's a 24-hour operations, which is like the city, it's operations based. So Those are the three key roles to make the city run well.
Now, I know we've touched on this, but I want to give love to all the people that participated in the survey that we did to what questions should we ask candidates for mayor. And KBOO surveyed our listeners this summer, and a critical concern for them is the climate crisis. And have you made this a priority? And how would you address the climate crisis in Portland? You already talked about the tanks on the river.
Yep. Yeah.
How would you, I'm sure that's not the only climate crisis in Portland.
You know, I'm glad you brought this up, and I'm glad your listeners noted that. So I go out and do all these house parties, mm-hmm. and Portland's grieving right now. And we spend the first 45 minutes to an hour talking about the unsheltered crisis, the people that are dying on the street. But I will tell you, the climate crisis is as important because it's a long-term crisis. So at my business, I have three core values: quality, safety, and sustainability. Sustainability is my lodestar. Every decision we make at Titan happens to deal with the climate crisis. Mm-hmm. I'm going to convert that over to the city. Every decision we make at the city of Portland will have a nexus of climate and how do we reduce emissions. And now let me tell you how that manifests. So I talked to you earlier about electric trucks. Titan, the company I own and operate, we're the first carrier in the Northwest with heavy-duty electric trucks. Mm-hmm. My goals at Titan were to reduce emissions. We've reduced emissions 50% from where we were 5 years ago. And the interesting thing is that the goals for the city is to reduce our emissions 50% by 2030. And I tell people, I have arguably the cleanest transportation fleet in the nation, and my goal as mayor is to have the cleanest city in the nation. That addresses the climate crisis. We're going to show other cities how you care for your citizens, lower emissions, and we outperform by focusing on climate and emissions reduction.
Now, I don't know if we talked about this. I think we talked about it off air. We're talking about light rail,
mm-hmm.
and you indicated
high-speed rail,
you wanted to bring in high-speed rail. I remember it took decades for TriMet just to build
light rail. That's right.
And you're talking about building high-speed rail.
Yep.
Aren't you going to encounter the same problems of
absolutely
construction in various neighborhoods?
Yeah. Well, with high-speed rail, you have the ability. There's only two ways you do it, and you elevate or you go underground. Mm-hmm. It's not like bringing in a highway. So we've learned that lesson from last century. Light rail is the transportation system for this century. So
But not for this country, because you go to Europe and it's all...
But that's why I'm running,
okay.
Ms. Dukes. We're going to change that. So let me give you a little bit of history. So for this last 4 years, I'm an executive board member for the U.S. High-Speed Rail, and we're located in Washington, D.C. So I work with Secretary LaHood, who was the transportation secretary for President Obama. We've been working on federal funding, and we were successful. We have $10 billion in bucketed money for high-speed rail. Now, I wrote a bill last year in the Oregon legislature to begin the funding for high-speed rail on the Cascadia.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans walked out. It's all good. Lynn Peterson, who's the president of Oregon Metro, is now the lead bill writing person. I work with President Peterson. You're going to see a bill or two in the upcoming Oregon legislative session. We're going to fund our portion of high-speed rail. And the beauty is if Portland puts in $10 million in this session, the federal government has agreed to match it 9-1. They'll give us $90 million. Mm-hmm. We'll have $100 million to begin that planning, because I keep telling people, high-speed rail will never happen unless we start planning. And so next year, I'm confident our legislators are going to begin funding high-speed rail, the planning, and then we'll start looking at dates, and it's 20, 25 years away.
Is there any American city with high-speed rail?
The good news is we broke ground earlier this year for the first high-speed rail line from Las Vegas to LA, and they're expecting to have it operational by the Olympics in 2028.
That's funny you brought up the Olympics. In one of your campaign slogans or expectations, mm-hmm. or promise, what do you call those campaign promises?
A platform. A key platform item.
Yeah, you talked about bringing the Olympics here in 2040.
Ms. Duke, you're probably the only person who actually read my campaign website, so I applaud you, because that's the last item. You know, Portland used to dream big. We did light rail. We used to be the leader in our nation with light rail and streetcar and design and bikes. And we've lost our North Star.
People are struggling to survive.
I know.
Buy a cup of coffee.
I agree.
And feel safe walking down the street.
Right. Yeah. So and the reason I put that on there is because we used to dream big here. And I know that to do big things, the United States always needed one or two things. They needed a war or a spectacle. Do you see how we're adding high-speed rail from Las Vegas to LA? And the goal is by 2028 Olympics. I did the same thing here. Let's put that goal of 2040 for the Olympics, but it's called the Cascadia Olympics. And it only happens if we have high-speed rail because it's an hour to Seattle from Portland. It's an hour to Vancouver, BC. And my dream is we call it the first two-country Olympics and the first that has multiple cities. It would be the Cascadia Olympics, and it would be hosted by Vancouver, BC, Seattle, and Portland. The Olympics are really expensive. Mm-hmm. But if we can host it in two countries with three cities, but more importantly, linked with high-speed rail, where the athletes and the spectators were 1 hour away from each event, it's a dream that we create a new main street and we transform our transportation system along the way. And I know that because working with European operators, when you add high-speed rail, you reduce inner-city traffic between Portland and Seattle by 80%. You'll never want to drive again because it's 3 hours and higher cost to use a car. High-speed rail is half the cost and half the time.
Would that do to Amtrak? I mean, it wasn't for...
No, Amtrak stays.
President Biden, Amtrak would have gone away.
Well, Amtrak's still there because you need inner-city traffic. You need to be able to get to Kalama and Chehalis and Tacoma. High-speed rail is only two or three stops.
Okay.
It's 250 miles an hour, but it allows to connect you into the light rail and the TriMet and the biking and the walking and these really transportation-oriented villages. And we really start to have a vibrant community that isn't just car-centric. And we start to really think about our communities as vibrant communities, all connected together through our transit system.
Can I say, Althea, now we have about 10 minutes left. Let me ask you a question that I didn't write down.
Sure.
And it's not one of those gotcha questions. What have you learned from campaigning? What have you learned about Portland from your campaign for mayor?
Portland's hurting. You said it earlier. They can't afford a cup of coffee. We are not using transit because people feel unsafe. We're not walking or biking because the traffic. We've lost our law enforcement, so it's more dangerous. Our road fatality rate is at record levels, and we need to get back to blocking and tackling. One of the things that I've really noticed is that while I appreciate the 2040 Olympics and the high-speed rail, those are dreams, and I want everybody to know that we need to really focus on blocking and tackling. Caring for those that are vulnerable on the street, we need to stop arresting and caring. But we need to enforce our basic community laws, like you can't be sleeping on the street, you can't have a DMV, unregistered vehicle. Those are all things that never were in Portland a few years ago. But Portland is hurting. We've lost our way and people are leaving. And we need to restore livability. We need to repair and restore and revitalize our community. And we got a lot of hard work to do next year. And that's really what I'm offering. But I don't want to gloss over the difficult work we have to do next year. And that's really what my campaign is about.
Well, now this question kind of puts you on the spot. This is a national campaign year. Have you decided to endorse any of the presidential candidates?
How dare you even ask that? It's Kamala Harris through and through. And I was honored with a nominee by President Biden and Vice President Harris to represent Oregon as one of two people on the platform writing committee for the Democratic National Convention. And so I was able to be there on Monday when the Democratic National Convention began. And when Kamala Harris walked on the stage in a surprise appearance, it was a rock concert. I was so impressed that President Biden stepped aside. He saw that his time had passed.
That's pretty amazing, yeah.
And I was impressed that the nation rallied around Kamala Harris. And I'm impressed that we have a robust discussion between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. We're really discussing, do we want to be a nation where we want to try and go back to last century? Or do we want to be a nation that really is focused and rooted in this century? And so I think we as a nation have a better choice, a better chance for a future that's really vibrant for more people.
Well, since you brought up all these different camps, as mayor, how are you going to address people, like you mentioned in Salem, when the Republican senator or the Republican caucus just walked out so you couldn't get a bill? How are you going to address that? And in Portland, it's not so cut and dry.
Yeah.
You have the Republicans, you have the Democrats, and you have this political party and that political party. And then you may have an underground party that we've never even heard of that'll pop up and make noise and be disruptive, because they want to feel heard.
That's right. Well, let me just tell you a story. So let's talk about that legislative session. So I was the chief petitioner on a bill that's going to no longer need somebody who works in the forest to burn our wood waste. And I worked with all the Republicans and all the Democrats on the water and the energy committees. And I passed that bill with unanimous support. Every Republican and every Democrat voted for it. So the way you create great legislation is you take everybody's voice into consideration. Nothing about us without us. The Republicans, they're good people. They have their ideals, they have their goals, and they have their families. I would say the same thing about Democrats. When you work with everybody and you center everybody's voice, I tell you, it was pretty impressive when every single one of them voted yes. And we passed that bill in a very deadlocked legislative session. That's how I'm going to work as mayor. I'm not going to choose sides. I'm not going to be an arbiter. I'm just going to manage our codes. We're not going to leave people on the street, and we're going to value every Portlander. And when you do that, I don't care if you're red or blue or Republican or Democrat or liberal or conservative, we're going to care for Portlanders. It's not about party. It's about, are you or are you not Portlander? And if you are, my job is to care for everybody and to listen to everybody.
And we have another question. They wanted to know, so you're running a pretty traditional campaign, meaning that you have endorsements, you have a lovely website, you have campaign literature. What endorsement are you most proud of?
You know, I the United Food Workers and Commercial Worker, the 555 union, it was the first union I worked for, and it helped me save money to buy a car, to get through school. I think I'm most proud about having that union as my first, and I was just proud. I was proud to be a union member. I was proud to have them as a union supporter, and I was proud when they endorsed me.
Do you believe cannabis workers should unionize?
I voted for the ballot measure to give them the opportunity. Let's let Oregonians vote. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're a politician. You want to wrap up the last minute and a half?
Oh, a minute and a half. You bet. You know, let's end out by just saying where we're at as a community. My opponents have had years to build a coalition and deliver results, Ms. Duke, and they haven't. And you know, I talked to you about ending unshelter homelessness. That's a proven strategy that most cities are using in the United States. They could have used that to solve the crucial issues that we now face, and they haven't. And I talked to you about all the hundreds of millions we're going to save by just caring for our community members. They've wasted hundreds of millions of dollars. And as a result, we've lost jobs, we've lost investments, we've lost families, and worst of all, we've lost lives. I told you how we're going to lose 400 people living on the street this year. 400, one of the highest fatality rates of any city in the United States. And I want everybody to know, if you like the way the city's being run, then I'm not your guy. So I'm coming in with an ambitious plan that's well-researched, with national leaders, with a blueprint to help turn Portland around. And I talked to you about the bills that I passed. You know, as a political change maker, I've led bipartisan coalitions for clean air and clean transportation.
Yeah, but what you're saying, it sounds lovely. It sounds like a beautiful song. But the reality is, we're in the heavy metal relationships with Multnomah County, the joint office, these social service agencies that barely have the resources. Are you going to start giving them resources and funding them to set up these overnight shelters?
Well, it's the savings that we gain out of the city by caring for. You know, when I talked to you earlier about the cost is $25 million. While it's a lot, when you think about the budget for the Joint Office of Homeless Services is over $250 million. To care for our community members, and the Joint Office has failed to care for our citizens in Portland.
So are you going to abolish the Joint Office?
You cannot. So let's go back to the gun violence reduction team that we've abolished. Do you know who we harmed that next year? We had the highest black gun violence in the nation.
Young black males, right.
We when you're running a government, you cannot run it shotgun. You have to be intentional. Do you understand that? I'm not going to say we're going to abolish the Joint Office, but I am going to expect a relationship. I'm going to demand that we hit our key performance indicators, but I'm going to help them along the way as somebody who has achieved greatly in my business, who understands how to run a high-performing business with key performance indicators. You know, it's a matter of working and collaborating, but I do expect them to work in this relationship as a partner.
Well, everyone says that, but no one does that.
I agree.
And that's the whole song with politicians.
But
everyone says that, but no one does that.
Here's what I've seen from the City of Portland commissioners. They keep pointing fingers at Joint Office and the county and say, you need to do better. And I'm not doing that. I'm saying, I'm a Portlander. I'm going to be the Portland mayor. I'm not going to criticize county for doing something when I have men and women that I know living on the street and some of that are going to die. We need to stop trying to pass the buck and take responsibility. Isn't that the type of mayor we want? And I want everybody to know that it's no longer complaining when it comes to people living on the street and tens of thousands of our residents leaving and businesses failing. It is time for us to take control of Portland and care for Portlanders with a mayor who has a clear plan to turn the corner on Portland.
And that's a lovely way to end this. You've been listening to Running on Air, produced at KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon. And I've been here with Keith Wilson, who's running for Portland mayor. Again, you can go on the internet. Very nice website, a lot of campaign literature. And best of luck in your campaign.
Thank you, Mr. This is great. And thank you to the listeners. Thank you to
KBOO. Thank you to Althea, who came up with Running on Air. You can find all episodes of Running on Air on the KBOO website. That's kboo.fm/runningonair. Episodes are also available wherever you get your podcasts. So our producer and engineer is Althea Billings, and our editor is Eric. I've been your host, Lenita Duke from Grassroots News. Have a lovely evening.
You've been listening to a special rebroadcast of Running on Air. In this episode, we revisited our interview with Portland Mayor-elect Keith Wilson. The episode originally aired on September 27th, 2024. Keith Wilson will be sworn in as mayor in January 2025. Thanks for listening to this special rebroadcast.
This is Ramona Africa, and you're listening to KBOO, KBOO 90.7 on your dial. KBOO is the exact example of the community taking charge of itself. On the move.
Dr. Zom's Stereo Obscura. Offbeat sounds for talented listeners. Broadcasts every other Wednesday at 10 p.m.
Después de esa fiesta, vamos a escuchar una comunicación simpática y cruel con Annie.
That's Dr. Zom's Stereo Obscura. Every other Wednesday from 10 to midnight, here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
This is Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO Portland. No compromise in defense of the truth.
Rev up your support for KBOO Community Radio. Have an old car taking up space? Donate it to KBOO. Your unused vehicle can become music to our ears, powering independent radio that amplifies diverse voices and community perspectives. It's easy and hassle-free. Either visit kboo.fm/cars or call 1-877-KBOO-123. You'll get a tax deduction and the satisfaction of supporting local independent media. Donate your car to KBOO Community Radio today and drive change in your community.
To you, the 9 to 5.